99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, Birds, and welcome to the latest edition of the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster back at you with so much sports talk and so much to talk about this week. Not only is it the week of the big game, but another league decided to step into the ring and oppose them on their big week. And the NBA just took over this week with countless trades, league-changing moves. I guarantee you, you've already heard about it, but we wanted to take a deeper dive into it, and we're going to talk about that throughout the entire show. As well as that, we are doing a big game draft. We did it last year a couple times when it was me, Mikey, and Brayden, but we're bringing it back. We want to talk even more into the history of the big game, especially in our lifetimes, and just kind of do a snake draft of some cool moments, MVPs, halftime shows. That'll come up later in the show when we dive into our full big game coverage. But let's start off with what I alluded to at the beginning of the show, and that is the NBA, as on Saturday night at 11 p.m., Shams Charania, is that how you say it? Shams, whatever. He sent out a tweet that I think shook the landscape of American sports history when he said that Luka Doncic, the star guard of the Dallas Mavericks, is heading out west and going to the Los Angeles Lakers in a trade that involved a couple teams, but really the highlights of it all, Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis. Guys, I mean, I've been waiting all week to talk about this one. It's absolutely insane that, you know, Luka Doncic got traded, and we could talk even more about it. Joey, I know you have plenty of thoughts.
I mean, this is just a moment where you kind of remember where you were for the rest of your life. Like, I'll never forget, I was just hanging out with some friends. I was trying to find Kyrie's social media director, but he mysteriously left. And then I called Everton, and we were like two like high school girls who like were like acting like the cutest guy in school, like asked us out, because it's for 30 seconds straight. We're just like, oh my God, 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 oh my God. Luka Doncic is an LA Laker, and it's just, it's unreal. Like, I just, Julian, what was your initial reactions when the trade happened?
Bro, I was just on the game. I was literally just playing the game. I look at my phone. I see, like, I was like, oh, okay, maybe that's just like a little burner thing. Let's see what happened. But then I looked again. Then he said, oh, this is actually real. And I was like, oh my God. I had like no words, honestly, when I first saw it.
Yeah, and like, I know I'm not the host. I shouldn't be asked. It's like, where do we even start with this? Like, we talk about the Lakers' point of view. Are the Mavericks, are their owners like insane? Like, where do we even start this conversation? Because this is just so mind-boggling.
Let's start with Dallas, because I think that's like the biggest topic of it all. Because I think the simplest way to put it is, what is Dallas doing? And I'm just going to, before I kick it to you guys, go into my two cents with it. Yes, there is no shame in Anthony Davis. He is a great all-NBA player, one of the best defensive players in the league, no doubt. But the biggest backside of this is you have Luka Doncic. To win championships in the NBA, you need stars, especially stars that are 25 years old and you were gifted to when he was a 20-year-old coming out of wherever he's from. Five-time all-NBA. I know he's been dealing with injuries. I know there's the whole talk about, you know, his conditioning isn't well, but you just don't trade a guy that hasn't even entered the peak of his prime yet and led you to the NBA Finals not even 9 months ago. Like, it's absurd the fact that the Mavericks did this deal, and the fact that of all places he's going to Los Angeles Lakers to be with LeBron James.
Yeah, my thing is, you could just tell that the whole entire organization just had no idea it was going to go on, because you look at Jason Kidd during the press conference, the whole time his head's just down, just looks down. He's like, why did you just trade our best player we've had since our Hall of Fame Dirk Nowitzki player? And it's, I understand he thinks he wants to win now with the guys that he has, like Kyrie's 32, like Klay's 31, but you just don't give up your 25-year-old guy that brought you to the finals the year before. And I think this team could still make some noise in the playoffs this year, but you look at this team for the next however many years, and it's just not going to work out.
Yeah, you want to win now, so you trade the second or third best player away in the NBA for someone who is worse than Luka Doncic is now. It makes no sense, and I've been telling my buddies about it. Like, I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but this trade was just so outrageous.
Yeah.
You just think of conspiracy theorists, because, like, it wasn't like the Lakers offered this trade. The Mavericks offered, like, they called Rob Pelinka and the Lakers, like, hey, you want Luka Doncic? And I guarantee they laughed, like, haha, yeah, I love Luka. And we're like, no, we're serious. Like, that's just mind-boggling. The sport's crazy. I have so many theories, but I'm not on here to spit conspiracy theories. We're just here to talk ball.
I think you can, though, when it comes to this deal, because if you are trying to trade Luka Doncic, which you just said is a top three player in the NBA, and I guarantee you across the next 15 years, however many years that he ends up playing, he's still going to be one of the top dogs in the NBA. Hasn't even reached the pinnacle of his prime yet. Why, if you're so adamant on trading him, why don't you just let the league know, hey, we are trading one of the best young stars in the NBA that is already a top three player. I guarantee you, every single team in the association would have given them a call and just offered draft picks for the next 20 years on top of that, players. And that's where it gets suspicious, because once again, it's just like the Lakers find a handshake deal under the table to get Luka Doncic, pair him up with LeBron James, which, yes, I mean, he's old, but he's still, you know, in terms of star power and most valuable player in terms of watching the league, it's LeBron. So you get to pair those two together now. And it's just, why the Lakers? Like, why the Laker? Why did you only call the Lakers? Why didn't you give the Nuggets a call and say, hey, we'll do this deal. You can send us Jamal Murray and a couple other, whatever it might have been. That's just a random example that came up in my head. It doesn't make sense to me why they didn't open up this up to the rest of the league.
Okay, so can I start off with conspiracy theory number one?
Yes. And I think me and you will be thinking on the same page with this one.
NBA viewership has tanked over the past couple of years. It's been widely addressed. They don't know how to fix the issue. So you send one of the best players in LA to be teammates with LeBron James. Viewership returns instantly, because the Lakers, despite not having super high expectations, like they're going to be a playoff team, have the most primetime games in the NBA heading into the season. So if you sign Luka there, everybody's going to tune in to see Luka and LeBron play basketball.
I think it's just like, I only thought there was three people in the NBA that you would claim kind of untouchable. Wemby, Luka, then I would say probably just Jokic because of how good he's been. You trade away probably the most, I think the guy that makes the biggest market outside the whole United States right now. You trade him away, now you
that's
got all
the
these.
Thing. That's get, crazy about it.
Then you bring him to LA again. That's where all the superstars go. You look at Otani, you look at all Freddie Freeman, all these guys. It's kind of just like fishy, you know, like the NBA, like you said, the viewership's going down. You'd think that it's just so random that something else has to be up with it.
And it just it baffles me to think that this got through, because yes, the GM makes the trades. They make the decisions. But it baffles me to think that this got through so many different levels of higher-ups in the Dallas Mavericks that they're just like, okay. I know there's like a couple other conspiracies about like they want to tank the team to end up moving them to Las Vegas, something like that. And like it just doesn't make sense in terms of with the new ownership group, because obviously Mark Cuban sold 80% of the team this past summer. But you know, just to trade a player like of Luka Doncic, and I want to go back to that point. They're losing so much money on this too. It's not even the fact of, yeah, we just lost a star player that's could lead us to the finals yet again. That international impact as well. Like, there were international eyes all over Luka Doncic just because of the impact he has globally. You lose that. No one cares as much about the Mavericks anymore because they have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. The funniest part is that they're still a very good team with Anthony Davis, and they could easily make another finals run, but it just doesn't feel, it doesn't sit the same because you're getting rid of a player that was gifted to you and 15 more years of your franchise having this star player. It's one of the most unbelievable, it is the craziest trade in American sports history.
And I mean, let's just talk about how good Luka is. Luka, at the age of 25, already has more all-NBA first-team selections than Stephen Curry.
It's insane.
Like, that's how good of a player Luka Doncic is. Like, he's not just a great player, he's generational. Like, we don't see players like Luka anymore. And so the fact someone would offer him away is so suspicious. But since we have a little bit of time left, can we talk about the fits for both teams?
I think, honestly, Anthony Davis fits perfectly with the Mavericks.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Like, he's always wanted to play with the, he's always wanted to play, like, the four. He's next to Lively and Gafford. So he's doing what he wants to do down there, and he's really good at passing the ball too. But again, Kyrie doesn't have that secondary guy that he could go with on the perimeter. He has to go down low every single
time. Mi hermano?
Yeah, and that's something I was excited to talk about, because I can't really recall this in NBA history where a team, two best players are like the two best second options in the NBA. Like, Kyrie was always the best second option with LeBron, and then so was AD. Like, they're always considered the second best player on the team. Now the two second best players are leading a team, and I can't really recall seeing that before, so I'm really interested to see this experiment, see how it meshes. But the Mavericks, they got so many players, man. They got Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Najee Marshall, They even got Max Christie out of the trade, who Mavericks Twitter has already fallen in love with, because Max Christie, Chicago native, is a fantastic defender. He can also, he's a good 3-and-D player. So I think this Mavericks team is in a good situation. It's just, as Ben said, it's just not the same. Yeah.
And you go, then I think we're going to bring up the other side, too. I feel like we have to.
Oh, of course.
I mean, the Lakers also, I think they made a huge trade also bringing in Mark Williams.
I wonder if we're going to talk about
it. It was nice.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely. Yeah.
It was a nice trade, but also he has a lot of injury issues. He's just like, you trade away Dalton Kennett, which I honestly did not see happening. You'd think he was going to be on the Mavs if you were going to think he was gone.
Yeah.
But I think that was still a good move for them because it was a need. Like, if you're going to get somebody like that, you need to trade away somebody important.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an incredible fit. Mark Williams has the highest standing reach in the NBA. It's higher than Wemby's. Like, this guy is a freak of nature. He's an alley-oop threat, and now he's being paired with two of the best alley-oop passers in the NBA with Luka and not Anthony Davis, wow, LeBron James. It's just, that is an incredible pairing. I think Mark Williams' value is going to skyrocket. Like, I was talking to Hootie earlier in the office. Derek Lively played one season with Luka Doncic and was ranked higher up on the best NBA player list than Cade Cunningham. He was ranked at 56, I believe. Like, isn't that crazy? That's the Luka effect. I'm telling you, Derek Lively is not going to be the same player. So Mark Williams, his value is going to skyrocket. And just the Lakers, they're building something special there.
It's really incredible what they were able to do. And I just, it's still like hard to wrap my head around. I literally sat there and, you know, I'm not as in touch with the association as I used to be, but this trade made me, I saw a tweet and it was like so valid because I was literally doing it as I saw it and goes, this trade's making me watch podcasts I've never listened to before in my life, but it's so true. And yeah, I don't know. I wish I could even put words to it, but Luka Doncic, Los Angeles Laker, who would have ever thought?
Never. Like, it was so funny. I saw a tweet about this. Like, could you imagine showing this to someone, like, this graphic of all these trades, like, a year ago? And this was like, imagine showing this to someone a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, no one would have ever expected to see Luka not be a Maverick. And you can just tell on Twitter with his message how heartbroken Luka was by this trade. Like, he wanted to be a Maverick for life. So it's just something a little bit fishy is going on in this organization. Don't want to make assumptions, but I hope they can accomplish whatever they're trying to accomplish.
I'm praying that the NBA doesn't make this a whole Celtics Lakers NBA Finals.
No.
Let's look at the hardwood classics type of thing. It just seems like it's just slowly moving towards something like that. Even though Cleveland's playing amazing on the other side too, it just seems like there's something like that's about to happen in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And when I wanted to see it, some new, fresh, like a Cleveland OKC type of championship.
And that's something I wanted to see, but like, you kind of look at like these Denver, like it was the Heat series when they made it, like the finals did no viewership, especially last year with the Celtics Mavericks. They just didn't do viewership. So as much as I personally enjoy seeing the newer things, the NBA just doesn't profit as much. So I think they would want to see something like that.
I call it every week. It's the soap opera, man. Mm-hmm. It legitimately is. There's no loyalty in the league anymore. And man, we have seen it over this trade deadline. So much drama, so much more to cover. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the NBA trade deadline and everything that happened outside of Luka Doncic right here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, and Joey LeMaster bringing you more NBA coverage of what was a wild trade deadline that ended at 2 p.m. today. Every move was basically overshadowed by what we just talked about with the Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis trade, but there were so many moves by so many teams, star players going to different teams. And I think we could start off the top with one that we've been talking about for a couple weeks now in Jimmy Butler. Steph Curry, the Warriors said that they were looking for help all deadline. They tried to get a deal done for Kevin Durant to head back to the Bay. Kevin Durant said, nope. Very interesting. Would love to dive more into that one. But they ended up opting for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler heading from South Beach to the Bay in a five-team trade, whatever it was. And I think the most notable thing is Andrew Wiggins heading to Miami. Miami still looks pretty solid even without Jimmy. But, I mean, I think the big thing here is Jimmy Butler finally got his wish and is finally out of Miami. But I think it's interesting that he went to Golden State because I thought earlier in the week he didn't want to go there. So we could start right there.
Yeah, a whole lot of drama. First off, Jordan Davis, I respect your prediction for wanting to say he'd come back to Chicago, but unfortunately that one's not coming true. And I'm kind of thankful because this trade doesn't move me at all. Like, I don't think the Warriors take a step forward or back. They just kind of stay in the same neutral state. And now they got Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green. And, like, that would have been fire, like, 5 years ago. But now it's just the unction.
Yeah. It seems like it's type of move where you're just trying to make your old guys happy. Because another guy that kind of fits in that same, like, regime, I guess you could say. A good hard-nosed player. He probably, him and Draymond are going to butt heads, I feel like, a lot,
yeah,
especially
no question
in the playoffs. But yeah, like you said, it doesn't move me that much. I feel like it's the same type of team with another head, I guess you could say.
And what the crazy part is, they gave him $60 million. They gave Jimmy Butler $60 million, a 34-year-old man. Like, there's definitely better ways you can go about spending that money. It's just, I don't think this progresses the Warriors at all. And in fact, like, in a couple years, I think this really comes back to hurt them because, like, they're going to be in a debt crisis and they're not really going to have much talent to surround it.
Yeah, and the pick they gave up is top 10 protected for 2 years, but then that third year comes around and you're looking at an old Steph Curry, an old Jimmy Butler, an old Draymond Green, so they might not have a good pick for when they're actually a really bad team.
How the mighty have fallen, right? Yeah. I mean, it's the Golden State Warriors for so many years, it was, they had this anchor, and, you know, KD was a part of it for some time, but with Steph, Clay, and Draymond, but as the years continue to go by, you know, trade deadlines came and went, and really their biggest thing was just trying to find depth to lead this team to a championship. And now they were just scraping the barrel dry trying to find depth, and we could talk a little bit more about it. A big rumor that was going around the league that ended up not coming true was the fact that the Phoenix Suns were reportedly shopping Kevin Durant, and the one team that was the most tagged to him ended up being the Golden State Warriors, and he actually turned down a trade to head back to the Bay, and he's going to stay put in Phoenix.
And I mean, I don't really blame him. I mean, he had his issues with Draymond. He had his issues with Steve Kerr. And like, why would you want to go back? It's not like this is the same Warriors team that's going to, you know, compete for the finals. It's just, it's a worse Warriors team. Like, why return to a bad situation that has gone worse? That would make zero sense to me. So I do not blame KD for vetoing that.
Yeah, I think at this point in KD's career, he's just trying to hoop. Like, he doesn't really care about, he doesn't care about the championships. He's got, what, three of them now?
Two of them now.
So it's just like, all right, I got my money. Let me just hoop for a couple more years, and I'm just going to go back to my house just by myself.
And we're never going to hear from him again.
Exactly.
Never going to hear
from him. No, he's active on Twitter. I don't know what we're talking about. I mean, he loves Twitter.
That is a good point. Maybe we'll hear from him even more. But, yeah, it's an interesting thing with the Warriors. I mean, this is a team that's fighting for a play-in spot right now, and I think you guys put it best. It doesn't really move you with the Jimmy Butler deal, and honestly, I would agree. Yes, he gets a running mate with Steph Curry, but these are two guys that are just getting older, and you know, we've seen Jimmy play in so many places at this point, which is just crazy to think about because he clearly is a cancer in every locker room that he goes to. And then Steph, like, Steph is still great at the top of his game, but, you know, it's coming to the end. The Warriors dynasty, the Warriors run is probably already over at this point.
Yeah, and I know last week we talked about how we want to, like, appreciate the Chiefs a little bit more because, like, we didn't really appreciate, like, the Patriots run. I don't feel bad for the Warriors, though. Like,
no.
I enjoyed watching, but, like, this could have happened to a better franchise. Like, that sucks to suck. And just, as you talk about Jimmy Butler, like, him being, like, the biggest locker room cancer, and then they pair him with someone who punches his own teammates in the face. Like, I just think this is going to blow up in their face.
I think people also underestimate how bad of a coach Steve Kerr's been in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how to adjust lineups, and also, he doesn't connect with his players as much nowadays, which
is
also
his young ones.
Exactly. He doesn't play them enough. And you have a talented guy like Kuminga. And then get even less minutes now with Jimmy Butler on the team. So I feel like they're not really giving their young guys the chances that they should have.
Has Steve Kerr been a fraud this whole time? That's a question for another day. All right, another big trade that shook the league not even 10 hours after the first one broke with Luka was De'Aaron Fox is headed to San Antonio where he gets to run with Wembanyama, so really exciting duo in San Antonio as San Antonio tries to come back to their prime. But attached to this trade was the Chicago Bulls, and we can talk more about the Bulls and our frustrations with them. But Zach LaVine, after a you know, fairly long career with the Chicago Bulls, he is now headed to Sacramento, where he gets to be was only separated from DeMar DeRozan for 3 months. That's the joke I keep seeing on Twitter, but. Yeah, the Kings get Zach LaVine, and he's going to be paired alongside DeMontis Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I feel bad for LaVine, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm happy he was able to get his move, and I don't think, like, him and DeRozan have any beef or nothing. But DeRozan left, and LaVine looked like the player we all knew he was. He was having a great year statistically. He was having all-star-type numbers. And now he's got to go back to the issue of what was not working. I don't really get this trade for the Kings. But the San Antonio Spurs, I am so excited for that basketball team because they kept all their young guys and majority of their picks. like the Atlanta Hawks had all their players get injured and just traded everyone at the deadline, and they didn't even give up that pick. So the Spurs are going to have like a top five pick in this draft to go along with this incredible young roster. I am so excited for the Spurs team.
I think the Spurs had the perfect layout for how they want to build around their superstar right now. Like they have Chris Paul, who's going to be a nice guy to also compliment Stephon Castle while he's still developing. De'Aaron Fox is so good, and I feel like now he's finally going to be on like that national stage being around Wembanyama. So I think this team right now, like, they're doing it all perfectly right now, even without Popovich, who's been out with, I know he had like a lot of health issues. So I think this could also be a play, not even just a play-in team, but I could see them making the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's a play-in team this year just because the West is so competitive. But next year, this team is going to be so scary. Like, we didn't even talk about Devin Vassell. We didn't talk about Jeremy Sochan. Like, the Spurs have just such a fantastic young core that's only going to get better. And Wembanyama hasn't gotten paid yet. Like, this team still has money. So what this team is going to look like next year is going to be incredible.
I love moves like this by the Spurs. I love when teams do this when they're like, yeah, we might not be there yet, but let's give these guys a half a season together, and then next year we're going to take off. A star became available. Probably, I would say if Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis were on the block out of nowhere, he was the most coveted asset at the trade deadline, and the Spurs instantly, everybody was like, it's the perfect pairing. Spurs went out and did it, and yeah, I you got to respect them. I think kind of what Joey said, they're going to be a really fun team to watch this year. And granted, they're still probably going to win a lot of games this year as well, considering the young roster that they have, but exciting times ahead for San Antonio.
Imagine rooting for a basketball team that just has a good front office. Like, yeah, that must be the best feeling in the
world. That's a perfect time to pivot, yeah. I think. So we talked about the other team attached to that trade, and that was Zach LaVine to the Kings. And that was it for Chicago. That was the only move that they made at the deadline. They got a couple of players in return. They got their own first-round pick back from Zach LaVine, and that was it. That was it for the Chicago Bulls. They decided to just run with the same core outside of Zach LaVine, and people aren't happy. I just want to bring this up too really quick. They traded DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Alex Caruso all in the past 6 months. Didn't get a single first-round pick out of it, besides the rights to their own pick that they traded many years ago.
So I'm going to go in on the Bulls, but first I'm going to say a good thing, because I was originally upset about them getting their own pick back, but I found out if they didn't do that, the pick would have been unprotected for the Spurs next year, so we would not have had our pick next year. So that made me somewhat more okay with it. But how do you trade those three guys and not get an additional pick? How is Nikola Vucevic still on this team? We're rotting away careers. Vucevic is having an all-star level season, and you're telling me we couldn't give him to no one? The Warriors were literally like begging on their knees to get him, and he's not there anymore. Like, this is a complete joke, an utter dumpster fire of a team. And they did their press conference today, like, yeah, we want to rebuild for the future, but we'd be satisfied making the playoffs too. They don't know what their goal is. They have no idea. They just got a bunch of clowns up there running the circus, and the Bulls going to continue to be the most mediocre franchise in the league.
I think the play-in tournament was the worst thing possible.
Yes.
Just for us, especially, because you look at this team, they said today that they're happy to make the play-in. Why are you happy doing that for a third year in a row with this horrible team right now? This whole team, this whole organization, everything from the top to the bottom right now is absolutely atrocious.
They're still feeding off that energy when they, like, lost by 3 to the Miami Heat, and the Heat went on that finals run. Like, they're like, we can do that, too. No, you can't. And the funniest part about this all with the Chicago Bulls is, you know, there was a major problem, or I guess you could say red flag, circled about the Chicago Bulls roster and the fact that they have way too many guards. Ended up finishing this trade deadline with more guards than they had before. So, man, it really stinks, because the Chicago Bulls, like, they need to be back to the point of where they are the pinnacle of basketball. It makes it fun. You know, it's fun when the Lakers, Celtics, Bulls, Knicks are all good, and all three of those teams are clearly striving, and the Chicago Bulls just continue to stick to mediocrity, and it just doesn't feel like anything's going to change as long as Jerry's at the helm and AK and Mark Eversley and all those clowns running the show in the Bulls front office.
Buzelis, can you save us?
Yes.
Modest Buzelis, can you please save us? Because it's him and Kobe White, and that's all we have left.
It's bad when even Billy Donovan comes out a couple of days ago and says, I don't know what this team is trying to, like, move forward to. He said himself he doesn't know if they're trying to rebuild or if they're trying to make the playoffs. When your head coach doesn't know that in general, how do you think you're going to win games, or how do you think that your team itself is going to have a good 5, 6, 7 years in the future? I don't understand one thing that AK has done. I think he's honestly way worse than Garpax has ever been.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, it's been bad. It has been really bad. It's been mediocre, disgusting. I think that's the best way to put the Chicago Bulls. Any other moves you guys want to mention that were pretty critical to what happened in the association?
All right, so my favorite underrated trade is the Cleveland Cavaliers officially can put up a fight with the Celtics. Yes. Their biggest issue was getting a lengthy small forward, and they traded for DeAndre Hunter without giving up pretty much anything. And now they have an incredible starting five of Garland, Mitchell, Hunter, Mobley, and Jared Allen. I'm so excited for this Cavs team. They got weapons off the bench, too. They're going to give the Celtics a run for the money this year.
That was the same exact move I was thinking of, because they're bringing in a guy that averaged 19 points a game and plays great defense, which is Isaiah Okoro did, but he also didn't have the offensive side. So now you got a guy that could spread the floor around Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. I think this could be a pretty dangerous team in the playoffs.
One move I do want to mention. Everyone just say a prayer for Chris Middleton, man. Like, that's
so sad.
Poor guy. I mean, won a championship with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, everything was looking up for you. They were they're a great team once again this year, and poor Chris Middleton, man, just has to waste the rest of his time in Washington. I don't know. I feel really bad for him. But one move I do want to mention that honestly kind of shocked me last night, considering where Toronto's at right now. I think that was a great move by the Raptors to get Brandon Ingram.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about Isaiah Ujiri, the owners of the Raptors, is he's going to buy low. Like, if there's an all-star available for a low price, he's going to take the swing. And it tends not to work out, but he's going to see what works out. And I'm excited for the pairing of him and Scotty Barnes. And then you got Emmanuel quickly, too. Like, they're building a little something. Like, they're obviously, they might fight for the play-in this year, but they aren't going to make it in. But you finally pair Scotty with the star. So the Raptors, they're showing some direction.
Someone posted their starting lineup. And it was honestly a really good starting lineup. Like, you got RJ, Scotty, Brandon Ingram. And, I mean, those are three pretty solid players in the league.
Jakob Poeltl as well.
And someone said this is the greatest playing team of all time. And, he's not. I don't think he's wrong.
No.
The NBA just kind of shook everyone up this week. And we had to spend the first 30 minutes talking about it because NBA trade deadline, and this one specifically, is always a crazy time, and surely it was absolutely nuts, and I can only imagine the ramifications it's going to have on the rest of the league, and we're going to continue talking about it throughout the rest of the year. But when we come back, it's big game time. We are so excited for the big game this week, and we're going to do a nice little snake draft with moments from the big game here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Toyo Master. Too many J's. We're back here talking big game. We are so excited for the big game this weekend between the Chiefs and the Eagles. So excited. And we decided, we could maybe talk 30 minutes about the Eagles and Chiefs, but let's go back on the history of the big game itself, the NFL championship, and look back on some of the moments. So we decided that we were going to have a little bit of a competitive edge here, as, you know, there's going to be a huge competitive edge this weekend between the Eagles and Chiefs. So we decided that we were going to do a snake draft revolving around moments, people in the big game itself. So exactly how this works, we decided a draft order through the wheel. The wheel is always right and just. We did a wheel simulation, and it ended up giving us a position of Joey, myself, then Julian. And then on the way back around, Julian will get two picks, go to me and back to Joey and so forth. Five rounds, and each of us get one of these. So we will take a big game itself. So we will take one matchup in the big game that happened. We will take an MVP of the NFL championship. We will take a halftime show. That one I'm super excited for, to see all of our picks. We'll take a moment. So a specific play from the big games, as well as a coach in all those big games as well. So granted, for some of our older listeners, we might not be able to hit the head with some of the moments from the 90s and 80s and so forth, but I would think that the majority of this is going to resonate with us and how we've watched the big games in the past. So, Joey, I'm just going to start with you right away. Give me your first pick.
With the first pick in the big game draft, Joey LeMaster will be selecting big game 51 between the Patriots and the Falcons that went into overtime. There's just been so many great things that happened in the history of the big game, but this is the only obvious number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the greatest games of all time. It's 28-3. I mean, you can't script it any better. You know, it stunk at the time because I was rooting so heavy for the Falcons, but when you look back on it, you cherish that and exactly what kind of game that was. And yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think that is probably the best championship of our generation.
I was watching that as a kid, turn the game off for a good, like probably like 5 minutes, go back to it. And I'm just like, oh my God, he's about to do it again. That Super Bowl was insane.
Mm-hmm. All right. Similar in your vein, I will be taking Tom Brady as the MVP of that exact championship.
Mm-hmm.
Big game 51, as we said, dominating performance. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see out of a professional athlete. I don't think there's any doubt in the world that it is the greatest performance in a championship game ever. And yeah, Tom Brady, the GOAT. What a run for him.
I don't even want to say anything about that, man. Like, watching him as a kid, I was just like, oh my God, he needs to stop winning. Now it's Mahomes doing the same thing. But now looking back at Tom Brady, watching him pass the ball was just so impressive, and he's definitely my GOAT for football.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Julian, what we got?
For mine, I'm going to go moment. I'm going to go big game moment. Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, I know.
Interception at the 1 yard line.
I mean, still to this day, one of the most shocking moves that you've ever seen in a championship. You have Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line. What even was the downage at that point? I don't think it was fourth or third.
I think it was fourth.
Fourth? Okay, either way, still crazy. You just run the ball with Marshawn Lynch, Malcolm Butler, sealed yet another championship for Tom Brady and his Patriots, and that is one of those moments that I think we'll be talking about for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, no question. I mean, everyone remembers where there was. Me and my friends got so crazy, my stepdad came downstairs, told us all shut up, and then went back to bed. So that's something I'll just remember forever.
All right, Julian, you get back-to-back.
Ooh, I forgot I got back-to-back. For this one, I'm probably going to go MVP, and I will go with Patrick Mahomes in 2023.
So which big game was that exactly? Was that this past?
Ooh, my math is not good. It was the one against
the Eagles?
Eagles, yeah.
Okay.
Good pick.
I mean, we knew Patrick Mahomes was probably going to get one of these MVPs.
He's got three of them. He might get a fourth.
Yeah, he might get a fourth this weekend. We'll talk more about that when we come back in the second half of this show. I'm just going to stick it with that Atlanta team, and I'm going to take my moment here. I think the moment that changed the game in that championship against the Falcons and Patriots was Julian Edelman's catch.
Mm-hmm.
That just, you know, he... just the way that he was able to hold on to that somehow by the tips of his fingers, it was one of the most incredible moments you'll ever see in a big game. And, you know, for it to be Julian Edelman with Tom Brady, I mean, they're just going to be all over this list, man, because that's just how they are. It is the dynasty of a lifetime, and we were blessed to be able to watch that.
Yeah, some of you say, like, oh, we'll never see it again, but we might.
Yeah, we always could. But that, I mean, I think that goes down as one of the craziest catches in NFL history.
Oh, no question. I mean, how he's able to come down with that will forever blow my mind. It's just that Patriots voodoo magic.
Yeah.
Always.
I there's three athletes I always hated as a kid. One, Julian Edelman. Two, Tabo Cephalosha. Three, Marcin Gortat.
Sorry. Where does Tabo Cephalosha come
from? That's some 2K. I know you're so tired of having some Harden in for him.
All right, Joey, what we got?
All right, this is where I'm going to win the draft. All right, so for my moment, we're going to go to the big game 43 when James Harrison did the 100-yard pick six against the Cardinals. Just when the Cardinals were driving, James Harrison was able to ice the game. And it was just – that whole game was honestly a great mention for the big game, but I'm rocking with James Harrison here.
Yeah, I mean, I was literally watching, like – I think it was on Instagram yesterday, like some of the greatest moments from the NFL championships, and the James Harrison one is on that, and it's just so crazy that he was able to go coast to coast, one end zone to another, out of nowhere, just running dudes over like it was nothing, sealing a championship for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Easily one of the greatest moments.
Yeah, no question. But now is where I'm going to draft my halftime show. And we're going all the way back to 1993 to pick Michael Jackson.
Oh my God.
Yes. I mean, just the face of music. How could you not pick Michael Jackson? On the biggest stage, he put on one of the biggest shows. And it's just, he is forever an icon.
I hate you so much. I hate
Dude,
you so much.
I'm telling you, I was winning the draft there.
Was that your plan? You were taking Michael Jackson no matter what?
I didn't take Mike.
You thought it was just going to be 2000. No, we got ball knowledge here. Red zone educated, man. Quit playing.
I know you just looked at Michael Jackson halftime show.
I will take one from... I will also take my halftime show. And it's going to be from our generation. I think... I don't know exactly what year it is, but it was the Seattle-New England big game. I'm going to take Katy Perry.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to take Katy Perry. I will never forget Left Shark and the impact that he had on society. I mean, that shook the internet for years, months with the Left Shark, and Katy Perry just put on one heck of a show. I will never forget it. In terms of great halftime shows, and I hope we get one this weekend with Kendrick Lamar, I don't think any single halftime show will ever describe to Katy Perry's what just one of the greatest. One of the greatest halftime shows.
It was
of all
immaculate
time.
Vibes, and my eyes were glued onto the TV watching her perform. That was a great halftime show. But Julian, I think there's one left for you.
Yeah, honestly, I'm gonna hit with the OGs one more time. I'm gonna go Prince in 07.
Okay.
Ooh,
Prince in 07. In the rain too.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
That
Prince in
purple
07. Rain in the rain. Like that's kind of a hard one to one up.
That's a really good one. That might go toe for toe with Michael Jackson. Oh, I might have reached for Katy Perry. I just did it for the Left Shark's impact, man. Like, come on.
And
I mean, the listeners will respect that.
I think he was one of the GOATs, too. He's right next to Michael Jackson for me, personally. But I'm going to go with Coach on this one. I'm going to go with the greatest coach that we have seen of all time. R.I.P. to Virginia McCaskey, George Halas.
Good
Love
answer.
R.I.P. Virginia. She passed away today.
102.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Lived a long life. Got to be with the Bears for a really long time. And yeah, George Halas, really great pick there, Julian. Okay, I will be taking my game. Actually, no, I'm going to take a coach.
No!
I'm going to take Bill Belichick.
Oh, my God. I think he's going to fall.
I wanted to, but I had to.
I thought,
oh, my God.
I was, like, set on game, and then I realized, like, wait, Bill Belichick's still out there. I mean, Bill Belichick is the GOAT. It's just right there with Tom Brady. Now coaching up all the youngins at North Carolina, but, you know, it's just a retirement job for him at this point. He's cashing a check. And, yeah, I mean, six championships, six rings. I mean, there's nothing else to describe it. Tom Brady's running mate, just the greatest.
All right, so I didn't think he was going to be here. I just got to decide which one I want to pick. So I'm going to go coach here. I'm not going to lie. I was going to get creative with it, and I originally was going to draft Don Shula from the 1973 Dolphins because they went undefeated.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's the only coach to win every game. But I'm going to draft Andy Reid for my coach, and we're going to go to – yeah, we'll go against the game against the Eagles at 57. That will be my head coach.
Oh, it's just in general.
Oh, just in general?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we had to pick specific. My bad.
For coach, at least.
Okay, then let's go MVP. I'm going to go – I think this might be a little bit controversial, but just with the stakes of what he did, I'm going to pick Eli Manning
when he stopped
the undefeated Patriots. I mean, that was just incredible. It wasn't the high scoring
game.
Which
one? Which one specifically?
Undefeated. That
undefeated
was,
Patriots?
Yeah, the undefeated Patriots. Led the drive to David Tyree. What a moment.
Yeah, 100%. And
that's a good one.
I don't know if there's still moments available. There's not, but I'm very shocked that David Tyree moment didn't make it on there.
I mean, isn't this crazy how many big moments happen in a big game?
Oh, there's a reason we call it the big game for a reason. There's a reason it gets its own Sunday circled off as a holiday. All right, I'm going to take games. I'm trying to think of some recent ones. I didn't really have one in my head. You know what? I'm just going to do it. Actually, no, I know exactly which one I'm going to do. I'm going to take the big game between the Patriots and Eagles. All the way back. Came down to a Hail Mary by Tom Brady. I mean, that game, and I know MVPs are taken, but if I didn't get Tom Brady, even though I should have known I was going to get him either way, I was going to take Nick Foles. Because what Nick Foles was able to do that season for the Philadelphia Eagles was just incredible. That game was insane. Tom Brady had dropped like the most yards ever in a championship. It was one of the greatest games ever, and of course, capped off by another moment that, I mean, we could just talk all about it, but the Philly special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we see another Philly special this weekend. Julian, we'll finish up with you. What is your last pick?
This one is one of the big game games. Probably top three of my favorite ever watched. Ravens versus the 49ers. Ravens yes. win 34-31.
The Harbaugh Bowl.
The lights going
the
out.
The lights going out. I wonder who the halftime Jacoby show Jones. Is during that. Yeah.
Oh, Jacoby. Oh, man. How did no one pick Hester?
Yeah, I mean, but if they won, it'd be totally.
No, but Illinois listeners, like, you gotta think about the bias.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about, we still got 2 minutes before we go to break, but like, is there anything else, like, that we think we're missing that, like, should get mentioned? I wanted to say this, though. One of the greatest moments that will never be remembered is Julio Jones' catch in that game in 51. That, I will never forget that, because I thought it was like, Falcons are winning championship, and sure enough, never count out Tom Brady. But that's a moment I always think about.
And another one you got to think about is going back to the late 90s, you know, being 1 yard short from just reaching the goal line to win the game.
Boy, you weren't even alive.
Bro, you drafted Prince.
And George Ellis.
Yeah, no, I think we were alive for Prince.
We were.
Yeah, we weren't alive for Michael Jackson, though.
That's my bad. I was going to draft Don Shula from 1973, so I don't really have shame for age.
There's so many great moments in these big games, and I mean, I'm hoping for in this rematch that we just get so many more of those moments, iconic MVPs. Maybe Andy Reid can put himself up there with the goats of coaching. We'll see. We're gonna
talk. Should we run down the rosters
real
quick?
So Joey, he took big game 51 between the Falcons and Patriots. His moment was James Harrison and his pick six. Halftime show, Michael Jackson, coach Andy Reid, MVP Eli Manning in 2011. My pick was Tom Brady in 51. The moment was the Julian Edelman catch in that same game. Halftime show, Katy Perry, Justice for Left Shark, coach, the GOAT, Bill Belichick, and the game, Patriots and Eagles from all the way back, 10 years ago maybe? Julian, moment, Malcolm Butler, picks interception at the 1 yard line. MVP Patrick Mahomes versus the Eagles. His halftime show was Prince. Coach George Halas, and his game was the Ravens and Niners, the Blackout Bowl. When we come back, we're going to be talking so much more about the big game between the Eagles and Chiefs this Sunday here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone. When we come back at you next week, we will know who is crowned the champion of the NFL between the Chiefs and Eagles, the most highly anticipated event in all of sports every single year. Granted, the NBA is taking a little bit of a shine away this week, but still, nonetheless, we know the cultural impact that the big game has. And we're doing it once again, a rematch between the Chiefs and Eagles. Fellas, I could not be any more excited for this game.
I mean, I think people on Twitter are a little ridiculous and like, oh, I'm not excited for this game. I don't want to see the two teams in it. This sucks. Be for real. This is the best time to be a sports fan. There's nothing like the big game. I cannot wait to watch. It's going to be unreal.
It's like a holiday to me. It's like a holiday. You go home, you're sitting around your friends, family, watching the biggest game of the year. I feel like there's nothing that ever beats this in sports, any type of sport, honestly.
Always good food around, too. Mm-hmm. Nothing to hang your head over. But, yeah, let's get into this game a little bit. We talked about it a little bit last week, but I think the biggest thing is kind of previewing it. And, obviously, being a rematch, really, it's so far out of, the week, you know, they have all this media availability. I don't think there's been too many major headlines. I know there's a couple things that we're talking about, like Andy Reid said no matter what happens, he's coming back next year, which I think we all kind of assumed anyways. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things in terms of the Eagles is Jalen Carter is dealing with a sickness. So, I mean, he's going to be out there no matter what. We know that. But it's just a matter of whatever he's dealing with and how that can potentially affect their pass rush. Not too many headlines, but still.
Can I just bring up one that has nothing to do with the big game?
I already know what you're going
to
say.
Did you guys see the one with the Trey Smith and the Bears thing?
I hate those idiots.
There's been some crazy reporter questions this past week. Like, someone asked Patrick Mahomes, like, would you rather be able to throw the ball, you'd like be the quarterback you are, have the singing ability of Taylor Swift, and something else, and Pat's like, oh man, you know, if I could have the singing ability of Taylor Swift, like, that'd be awesome. Stupid question, let's be real. And then someone asked a really dumb question to Travis Kelce. I forgot what it was, but it was something about...
Oh, is he going to be excited if, like, Trump's going to be in the crowd or not?
Not that. It was something about Taylor Swift, and he did not seem too happy about it at all. But, yeah, I... Some of those media guys, you get a real question about how did you get invited? Like, why are Bears guys there right now? What are the Bears, like, media reporters have to do besides press Trey Smith, who is getting ready for the biggest game of his life? Like, what are we doing?
And the CHGO guys, like, they just fired half their staff, but don't worry, we're going to the big game, guys. Like, what a joke.
All right, let's talk this game. We already know about the Chiefs. I feel like we've talked about it all year. Inevitable. I think the vibes on this game is kind of like what we talked about last week. Like, it's the Chiefs. We know that they could win. We know that they'll probably win just based on how it goes. But there's a big difference in this Eagles team this year compared to when they played them last. A defense that is stacked, that is young, and the biggest X factor of them all, Saquon Barkley. I don't think there's been a player more hyped up in one of these games, like, just to see play, than the way that people are talking about Saquon Barkley this week.
I mean, no one deserves it more than Barkley. I mean, just everything he had to go through with the New York Giants, whether it's just the injuries or just the fact he had to play for the New York Giants, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
New York Giants!
Yeah, but so he finally overcame that, and just this run he's had with the Eagles this year has been incredible. If the MVP wasn't really a quarterback award, I think we'd be talking about Barkley winning it. Just the season, he's been exceptional. Highlight after highlight, big run after big run. And now he's kind of like everybody's last hope to take down the Chiefs.
Yeah, I feel like out of every position, skill position that's not quarterback, Saquon, it might be a hot take, but I think Saquon is the best skill guy we've seen in the big game in at least the last decade.
Yeah.
He's been insane this year. We've been waiting for a guy like this in the big game because we've seen good running backs. We've seen kind of quarterbacks that have just quality running backs behind them, but we've never seen a guy like this in the big game in a long time.
I don't think I could disagree with you on that because I've always had this take of you don't pay running backs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Granted, I think that got proven really wrong this year, even though they didn't get huge deals. I just didn't like when we were on this trend of giving running backs these huge, huge deals that they were asking for. But in terms of you saying like a skill position player like that, and especially at running back, if you look back on teams that have won the championships, there's not a lot of like really great running backs. I would say probably the last great running back we've seen in an NFL championship was Todd Gurley in his prime, way back then. And that game actually kind of ended his career because he got hurt in that game. I think there's so much hype around Saquon Barkley. He's currently the second favorite to win the MVP of this game, which makes sense, so only behind Patrick Mahomes because they're obviously the favorite. But, in terms of the Eagles, if you're an Eagles fan, what do you think? I mean, I think we're all rooting for the Eagles in here for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're an Eagles fan, what are the vibes right now? Like, what do you think they're going through, like, emotionally, mentally, especially after losing the game 2 years ago?
I mean, that's what I was just going to say. There's going to be a little bit of excitement, but also a little bit of fear. Like, you're finally back here with an opportunity to get revenge against a team that, like, crushed your hopes of winning the big game. But, like, what if they do that again? That's a little bit concerning. But then you also got to realize this Eagles team, which is crazy to say, is probably far better than the Eagles team that made the championship 2 years ago. Like, the defense is incredible. They got some of the best weapons in the league on offense. So you're excited, but you also got to be a little bit of nervousness as well.
If I was the Eagles in this game, I would be thinking that no lead is honestly safe
no matter what.
You can't be complacent no matter what. If you have a 28-point lead, you still have to be aware of that who's on the other side of the ball. So I think, honestly, the biggest thing in this game for both teams, not even just the Eagles, is the trenches. Jalen Carter has had an amazing game. You got to get play from your inside linebackers. And I know they've been doing it all season, but now you're going against another side that's pretty much as equal with you on the other side. So I think the trenches is going to be a big thing of this game, but the Eagles have to dominate it more than the Chiefs do if they want to win.
And that's like when I was just thinking about this and talking about it, it's so interesting to think about, like, I feel like this entire week, it's like, what do the Eagles have to do right? What do they have to do wrong? Because of exactly what you said. We know who's on the other side of the ball. We've seen him do it the last 2 years. We've seen him do it three times to this point. So, yeah, I think the biggest X factor in this game in terms of the Eagles winning, we know about their defense. We know how great it is. We know how good they are in the trenches. But at the end of the day, it's Jalen Hurts. It is Jalen Hurts and his ability to run and throw the ball. We know that he can run with the best of them in the NFL, and he has that mobility. But I think getting completions downfield on this Chiefs defense and really trying to scrap up those Chiefs cornerbacks, I think that's the biggest thing and the key to winning this game.
Yeah, I honestly agree with that. I didn't really think about Jalen Hurts being that much of an X factor, but when you really look at the team, he doesn't really do stuff that brings them over the edge that you really expect a quarterback would do in the Super Bowl. And I think this is really his game where he's only like 25, 26 years old. You expect him to finally have that breaking out game where he's going to be in the big game and finally do it and actually win it all.
Yeah, which is my question for you guys is like, what is the Chiefs' recipe for success? How do they win this game?
Just play the way the Chiefs win. Just play the way the Chiefs know how to win. It's been their recipe from time and time again. I think the biggest thing is establishing the run early. And obviously, like, you know, Pacheco was so dominant in last year's postseason, and we've seen with the injuries, it's kind of been like a step back. But if you could just find a way to break past that Eagles D-line and really get the run game going with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, you know, I think that's the recipe to success and continue to wind out that clock.
I honestly think it's getting the guys that haven't been there comfortable in the game, like these guys like Xavier Worthy and Marquise Brown. They haven't been there before, but they're going to be playing the biggest games of their whole entire life. And you're also with a lot of guys that have been in that game, and they just know how to kind of operate while playing in it. So I think Mahomes needs to get those guys good and working well right away and make them feel comfortable and keep on having the same game plan as the game goes by.
I mean, I think that's kind of the biggest strength the Chiefs have heading into this game is experience. Like, majority of the guys, they've been here before, but like, you look at the Eagles, Saquon Barkley, never been here before. Majority of the defense, like you look at Cooper DeSean or like Blankenship, they have not been here before. So there's going to be some nerve-wracking moments for them big players, but the Chiefs, this is just another day in the office.
Yeah, where do we sit on the Chiefs? And I guarantee we'll talk about this more next week, but just hypothetically, where do we sit on Kansas City if they are able to get this done, complete the first three-peat in NFL championship history, and, you know, just continue to build on what is one of the greatest dynasties in American sports?
The greatest dynasty of all time.
Yeah, I don't want to say it, but I 100% agree with Julian.
The greatest dynasty of all time. It's got to be. I mean, no team's ever done it, like you said, and you got a team that's doing it in a time where I feel like the NFL is getting pretty competitive again.
Yeah.
In 2 years in a row that you wouldn't expect them to be in the big game, they're doing it again and proving everybody wrong.
Yeah, because that's a big thing when you talk about the Chiefs is we had the same exact conversation about this team last year. It's like, they're not looking this good heading in the postseason and all these other teams are getting hot. And then guess what? The Chiefs just win.
Yeah.
It's just what they do. It doesn't matter if it's pretty. Doesn't matter if it's ugly. The Chiefs win games. And if the Chiefs can three-peat, they would be the greatest dynasty of all time.
And I think when you put it in terms of football, and we talk about this with the Eagles, it's so hard to get back to this moment, mm-hmm. especially when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes dominating the league, but especially in a tough NFC. It is really hard in today's NFL to get back to this moment. Well, the Chiefs have done it three times in a row. They've been here three times in a row. And if they get it done on Sunday, they are in very rare company in American sports where, you know, people talk about the NBA and what's happened, obviously, in that league. But the only three-peat in history, or the only two three-peats in the history of the NBA are the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers in the early 2000s. The only three-peat in baseball is the Yankees in the late 90s. But it's football. Like, we never see it. It feels like every year we're so used to different matchups in this game and, you know, a new quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's simply put the greatest dynasty ever assembled if they are able to get it done on Sunday.
Then I feel like you could look at a lot of key players that have been here for so many years with the team. Like, I'm not even just talking about Patrick Mahomes. You look at, like, Chris Jones. Obviously, you got Travis Kelce with that. Creed Humphrey's about to have two in a row now, too. There have so many guys that have won so many in a row, too, that I feel like it's changing a lot of legacies also on that team.
Yeah, that's, like, really interesting to think about, too, because if you look forward, a lot of these Chiefs players on this team are, like, already Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't just talk about Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, but think about all those offensive linemen that have been able to win.
Joe Tooney.
Yeah, exactly. George Karloftis is on a Hall of Fame path right now. It's been one of the most insane things that I've ever been able to watch. And honestly, as much as I'm rooting for the Eagles on Sunday because I'm kind of grown like affiliation to them. Like, I think they're such a fun team to watch. It is, you truly got to respect what the Chiefs have been able to do these past three seasons and even going further than that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, fighting some injury adversity as well. It's just this front office. It's just continued. They get the draft picks right. They get the free agency right. And they just continue to keep their players at home. Just the Chiefs have built a culture that so many teams are inspiring to do. And just they have crafted the blueprint.
Let's do it. Predictions. I said at the beginning of the year it was going to be Chiefs-Eagles. And, man, as much as I want to just stick with it, I said the Chiefs were going to three-peat. And they might. I don't know. I just have weird vibes with the Eagles. I think this team, what they've been able to overcome this year, I think they just built one of the coolest defenses in the NFL with how young it is. Just Saquon Barkley, that story, it took over the NFL this year. I love the vibes, the Eagles, and that's nothing against the Chiefs. I just know this is going to be a close game. It might be the same score as it was last time, but I'm going to go with the Eagles. I'm going to say the Eagles win the big game on Sunday.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Philly will be up in flames Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm riding with Kansas City. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But my bold prediction is I think Travis Kelce will win MVP this time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's going to propose to Taylor Swift.
All right, let's not do it. That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. But we'll see if Joey's bold prediction comes true next week on Thursday on the Red Zone. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody enjoy their Super Sunday, as we very much will. We'll be back next week at 6 o'clock every week on the Red Zone. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back.